Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hello.
It helps when you get off of mute.
When you unmute yourself?
Yes. The world is on fire right now, so...
Oh.
The mass hysteria.
Yeah, no more Disneyland. Even Mickey Mouse ran back to his hole.
Yes. No more baseball, no more hockey, no more March Madness.
Oh, really? I thought they were just going to play in a empty stadium.
Oh.
Stadiums.
A la Halftime Heat from WWE a long time ago. You remember that?
Yes. So what is happening with you, Mr. Ronnie Barron?
Oh, not a whole lot, sir.
No?
Well, I mean, today I spent my whole day with a school that I do IT consultant for, because they're prepping for shutting down for 2 weeks. So, and the kids have Chromebooks.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so, it's a smaller school, like a rural school. So, like, where Sydney goes, our hometown, like, she has a Chromebook, but she takes it home every night for whatever.
Sure.
At the school that I do IT for, they are one-to-one Chromebook, but they only go to eighth grade, and they don't let them go out of the school.
Mm, gotcha.
So I had to open up the settings so that way they can...
take them home.
Yep. And then other things. And,
yeah, grab Wi-Fi networks that aren't the schools. Yeah.
Right, correct.
Wow, that's crazy.
I mean, it didn't take me all day to do that. I was doing other things there too, but...
I'm guessing that some schools might be reaching out to have you come in while a school is entirely closed. Like, hey, since we can't do anything with students, we might as well beef up our infrastructure a little.
Yes. Actually, that happened today while I was at one school. Because we only have contracts for two schools. One's a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. And then one's, like I said, a rural school.
Mm-hmm.
And... the Catholic school purchased 3D printers for their computer lab.
Ooh, nice.
And they also might be doing the 2 week thing. So,
yeah, I would think it would be at least 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, which is great because, or for around here, I'm not saying the overall thing is great, but, right. Next week is their last week. And then the week after that, they go on spring break for the whole week. So technically, if they went quarantined or whatever, they would only miss 1 week of school anyway. So
are you throwing out that as a conspiracy theory? Is that what you're doing right now?
What do you mean?
That big government plan.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm just
right during spring break.
No, I'm just saying they because the staff wouldn't get paid if they did the 2 week thing either.
Oh, so you're saying the staff planned this.
Yeah.
Now we know. Big government, we have an eye on you.
That's right.
There you go. We're like Geraldo going into Al Capone's vault.
Yeah.
It takes us an hour, and yet what do we find when we open up that vault? Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. It's like my senior year way, way, way back when.
You went to prom and you were expecting something and you got absolutely nothing on prom night?
Yeah, that was most...
You, buddy.
Yep.
I even had that damn limo.
A squirrel ran and jumped into the electric, what do you call it? Generator? Not the generator. The thing that's on the pole. Transformer. There we go.
And blew the transformer. And
blew the transformer. So, like, that was my senior year. So, like, we got a whole week of school off because of one sacrificed squirrel.
So, are you saying that was also done by the teachers and the administration? They threw the school into the squirrel into the transformer to get an extra week off. Is that what you're?
No, that was all my senior class, buddy.
Oh, okay. Smart. That's funny.
How have you been?
Oh, I've been busy.
Good.
Busy, busy, busy. Yeah. Trying to not go stir crazy.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. But, you know, hey, what can you do?
Yeah.
So.
We got some, there's lots of stuff. So I was looking back through our Nerdy Legion questions.
Yes.
And some of them pertain to upcoming events that have already happened. So we can tackle those when we get to them.
Sorry, Aaron Bell.
Yeah, sorry. All your questions are null and void. We are not answering the bell tonight.
Oh, man.
But
are you reading anything good right now before we hit our Q&A?
Well, besides like the usual stuff, since Aaron has found his newfound love for Terry Moore stuff, Jay and I have been rereading Rachel Rising with him.
Bam. Or not
with him. He's way ahead of me. I don't know about where Jay's at, but yeah.
Sounds like you guys should be doing a book club episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the heck?
So much so that he's even looking for the Strangers in Paradise hardcover.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah.
So wow.
He is hashtag all in.
Pot committed.
Yeah.
Holy cats. Now, what is your, when you do, other than this book club reading that you're doing, mm-hmm. on normal weeks and months, are you reading first all of your new releases? I don't know if I ever asked you that.
Not all of them. There's certain titles that I'll read that are top of the pile type thing. And then it's like I bounce back and forth between like the Mike Meyer style, because I'm digital, so, you know, I don't have to shuffle through long boxes or whatever.
So whatever inspires your mood?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I'm loving Daredevil right now. The current mm-hmm. run. So, like, when there's a new one of those, I'll read that as it comes out. And there's a couple other ones, too. And then, you know, like, maybe... So, Bloodshot comes out this weekend, the movie, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I might go back and reread a trade of that. Or, you know, just whatever sparks my fancy. And then, like, a palate cleanser type thing. Like, I'll read what I want to. And then... go back to the newer books, and then sometimes I don't get to the newer books and they just pile up.
Oh, and how long will you let the newer books pile up before grabbing, how many issues of whatever title would you normally, like on average, what would you let pile up? How many?
Probably like 5 or 6, actually, like a trade worth, I would say. And then
holy
I'm like,
Christ.
And then like I see something like either on Twitter or one of us talk about it, you know, mm-hmm. in Discord, and I'm like, ah, oh, crap, I'm not even caught up on that. I should read that, and then I'll grab it and read it.
Got
so,
it.
Like, at that point, I'm not a smart man, Nick, because then I should have just got the traded collection on Comixology and been done with it.
Or wait for the Daredevil sale or whatever the title yeah. is, and then just grab it that way.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Believe me, that's what turned me towards trades.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, man, why am I holding on to, like, at one point I had like 20 issues of Invisibles to read. And I absolutely loved that title. Still do. But at the time I was like, they put out almost 3 trades of Invisibles. What am I doing buying this every month when I've socked away a year and a half's worth? Oh my God.
Right. Well, like, for example, like, so Strange Adventures came out last week, I think, the new one, with, about Adam Strange with Tom King and Mitch and them doing yeah. it.
Mm-hmm.
But that, like, prompted me into, like, oh, do you remember Countdown to Strange Adventures, or Countdown to Adventures, I think it was?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I really liked that series. So then I was like, huh, let's go find that.
Nice.
So, yeah, like, sometimes my rabbit holes have rabbit holes.
Yeah, that's easy to do.
Yeah.
Do you ever get, like, I mean, I hate to, like, my example of Invisibles. The only reason I didn't read that, even though I loved it, was it was so dense and thick, and I knew that wasn't going to be a 15-minute read. That would be like an hour read.
Yeah.
To try to comprehend. Are there any titles like that that you just like, you just know? It won't be a, it's a worthwhile trudge, but the amount of time that you have to put towards it is so much lengthier. Yeah. Are there any titles like that for you?
The one that comes off my head right now is the Monday, what is it, the Black Monday Murders, I think it was. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I know this is good, but like my attention span is just not feeling it right now.
Yeah, Hickman can do that.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I mean, I hate to say it, even with almost, like I haven't read any of his X-Men run. Heard great things, haven't read any. Mm-hmm. But I hate to say it, Hickman is that one person, and I know a lot of writers will say, oh, I don't write for the trades, but you clearly do write for a trade. Yeah. Where Hickman is so cat eating its tail, everything linking and interconnected together, that I don't know if I could read. If his books are coming out once a month, I don't know if I could read them and recall them that well. Month to month. I'd have to reread them, which who's got time for that? I mean, I just don't, not with new releases.
Yeah. And I think you and Martin talked about it, like his Avengers run.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it was coming out, I was just like, okay, it's okay. But then like when it was all done or traded or whatever, then mm-hmm. I went back and read it all at once and I was like, man, this is fantastic.
Yep. Yeah. It definitely heightens it for you.
Yeah.
Like, you see everything where when you're in the floppies, it's like, I don't know if you can piece it together because things are moving at a pretty slow pace.
Yeah, agreed.
Ah, so good. So good. Are you, now that you're reading Bloodshot because of the movie, will you be picking up any New Mutant issues to read, or are you just going to stick with, like, the new versions right now?
The old New Mutant stuff?
Yeah, for the movie.
I have a lot of them,
mm-hmm.
like in singles and digitally. So, sure. Yeah, I'll be amped up and reading some of the old stuff, too.
Nice.
I think I might be one issue behind, maybe, on the new run.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I'll definitely be jumping back to the older stuff.
Cool. Yeah, it always gets me hyped up when I can do that with a comic book movie.
Yeah, and sometimes that's not the case, right? Like, a comic book movie came out. Like, when, say, Guardians of the Galaxy came out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, even though Annihilation is my favorite thing,
mm-hmm.
my favorite event, I would say, in Marvel for a while.
Sure.
Like, I didn't have any interest into going back and rereading it. Or rereading Guardians stuff.
What do you find yourself falling into? Movie hype, I want to read some comic books to get me more hyped for it. Or after the film inspires you that, oh my God, now I want to read Guardians of the Galaxy.
That, the second part.
Oh yeah?
Okay. Just because, I mean, we've read comics for a while now, but like I try not to go into the movie expecting what I've read already. To come out, you know, I mean, I want some similarity and not just call it, you know, the Riddler or whatever, just because it's in name only.
Sure.
But I find myself more coming out of a movie inspired to read more comics about that movie or the whatever, the content or the title of that movie than actually like hype to read building up to it.
I think I come out of a film more hyped and wanting to read story arcs regarding the film. Mm-hmm. But going into the film, I purposely won't. If somebody says, oh, the Joker film was based on Brian Azzarello, blah, 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 I purposely will not. I will read Joker comics because I still like to get hyped up, but I won't purposely read the thing that the movie's based on because I hate having that comparison in my head.
Yes. And actually, I'll probably do that tonight with Bloodshot, actually, because I got to see it last night
uh-huh.
or the other night, and
old Hollywood Baron over there.
Yeah, I guess.
Look just at you
having friends in the right spots, I guess.
Look at you. Oh, are you gonna sing a Garth Brooks song now?
No, no,
huh?
No. They weren't in low places. They were in right places.
Well, you know, you can always change it up. You could Weird Al it.
True, true. But I heard going in or for a while that it was based on the 2012 reboot of it. So I stayed clear of rereading it before the movie.
I need to find any. I barely need to find any excuse to reread that reboot. So
true, true.
Yeah. Oh. That sounds good, and I don't even like Vin Diesel, but that sounds good.
Yeah, Vin Diesel is Bloodshot. I'm going to throw it out there.
Nice, nice. So. Is there any credit or after credit scenes, or can I leave and not watch 4 minutes of credits?
The one that we saw, it cut off right at the credits, so I can't answer that. Honestly,
right. I'll wait for you to go and just report back.
Yeah. I am going to see it again this weekend. So
cool. Just don't bring the corona. Don't grab the corona from the theater, please.
Yeah, I'll try not to.
All right. Very good. Very good. Oh, man. I love getting a little excited for comic book films. It's still inherently in me to do that. So,
yeah. And non-spoilery, there's one scene in there, and I'm like, what the heck? Like, why is this happening? But then after that, and the characters actually explained what was going on, then I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And it made it actually funny then.
Ah, very cool.
And if you take your dad to see it, then... Mm-hmm. Then you'll definitely know what scene I'm talking about because it's early on. But
all right, that sounds good. That sounds real good. Now let me ask you a question. You've seen, I assume, both of the versions of the last trailer.
Yeah.
I'm switching gears for the New Mutants trailer.
Yes, I have actually. Yes, okay. To that too.
Okay. Do you? Because I think I asked Martin this, but I would love to get another perspective on it. Do you think that the New Mutants film is going to be dark and scary?
I think it's...
I get tense.
Yeah.
I certainly get tense. Mm-hmm. But there's enough through lines that definitely makes me, in my dumb, not wanting to be scared brain, be like, but that's so comic booky. But that's so comic booky.
Yeah.
But then there's parts to it that's like, God, that looks dark and scary.
Yeah, I think...
For me.
Yeah. I think it will be undertones of the suspense and horror aspect of mutants.
Okay. But toned down enough for me to be able to go into it, hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
Okay, all right. Because I'm up to, I think it's issue 46 right now. Of New Mutants.
Yep.
And man, after seeing that trailer since I started and I just got past the Sienkiewicz bits and bobs, and now looking at how the characters are drawn, holy Christ, did they do some good casting in that film.
Yeah, the casting looks pretty spot on.
Yeah.
So. And I will take one for the team, and I'll go watch it before you, and then I'll report back. And
oh, you're the best.
I try.
I appreciate it.
I can't do all things, but there's some things I can do.
I appreciate it, because I do not need scary. I'll watch right here in the home.
Yeah.
With the lights on and it 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, I was going to say at noon, right? With all the windows open and curtains open.
And with my hand held up to the television, I'm blurring out boobs that are on the TV, but I'm just hiding the scary parts. Oh,
yeah.
God. Ooh.
Well, you want to dive into some questions, buddy?
Heck yeah. I know you have some stories to share along with these questions, so I'm dying to hear the stories.
Yeah. So let's start with that one, shall we?
Yes. Feel free. Now, do you have who sent it as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got everything. Oh, perfect.
I got the Google Docs pulled up, and I'm ready to go.
Perfect.
Yeah. So our good buddy, Dewan, from the Valiant Central podcast.
Collecting Valiant.
Yep. Ask, what type of books shouldn't you purchase at a con or at C2E2?
Should I guess that your answer is going to be omnibuses of any kind?
Well, no. Well, you would be wrong. You would be wrong. But since he asked this question, okay, I'm going to answer it truthfully. Because I think it was Friday night. We were all going through our stuff. What we got that day, right? So Aaron and I had, you know, hardcovers piled up or whatever, and Dewan looked and he was like, man, I need to go get me some booby books tomorrow.
What?
Yeah. And so, me being me, I was thinking, like, you know, like Mike Myers booby books, like Zenoscope stuff.
Or right? Like Vampirella or something.
Or, yeah, like right.
Yeah.
So then, Saturday night, you know, everybody's going through their stuff again before, while we're there drinking or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he shows me this thing that he got in Artist Alley.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the size of Archie's Digest size.
Ooh, okay.
Like that dimension.
Yeah, that's a nice size.
It's thicker, but, and so like, I flipped through like the first three pages and it was like quadruple X rated.
What?
Yeah, and I was like, did you even look at this before you bought it? And he was like, no, I was half drunk.
Where did he find, was it at a...
It was at a table in Artist Alley.
What? Why has he not posted any pictures privately? What the hell?
I don't know. But it is amazing. So it was the topic of the night probably for like 45 minutes, because then of course I looked at it and then I was like, oh, Aaron, you got to come over here to the counter and look at this book. And then Jay came downstairs and I was like, oh, Jay, come here and look at this book.
Now, are we talking, just to paint pictures in my head, mm-hmm, as well as the listener's head, are we talking booby books that are quote unquote pretty, like a, you know, a sophisticated Penthouse magazine when there was oodles of coke being done and lens flares all over the place, but tasteful? Or are we talking like Cherry and are we talking like...
Yeah, we're talking Cherry and like the comics that were in the back of the Cherry magazines mixed with anime tentacles and all kinds of stuff.
How did this person sell this to Dewan?
Like, I don't know, but he bought two of them.
One to Bag and Board, of course, and the other one to CGC.
Yeah, I don't know, but the other one, the other one took me, like, this one had stuff on every other page. And the other one I barely looked at, but I went through probably a quarter, like flipping through, you know, of it, and I only saw like maybe three pages of 40.
What?
But
the heck?
But this first book, I was like, Dewan, what in the hell are you doing? Because like I said, like my mind, it was all about Zenoscope or, you know.
Sure.
And then he showed me this. He was like, I got my booby book, and he was all proud of it. And I was like, did you even look at it? And he was like, no. And then I showed him, and then, you know. So, if you go to a con...
I would love to blame Travis for this.
Well, Travis, but Travis was there.
As we both discussed last week, him and Travis were very drunk, so you couldn't expect Travis to police him at all.
Oh, I would say Travis probably encouraged him.
Oh, we got to keep both of them away from the revolution table at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord Almighty.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Oh, that's hilarious. How many times did you flip through that book, though?
Well, so 9-8 times, I guess.
Yes.
9 times counting Dewan, because like he hadn't even looked at it, so I was the first one to look at it. So I was like, "Hey, come here and look at this. Hey, come here and look at this."
Is you're like, so that's what tentacle porn is.
Yeah, I was like, so on these two graphic novels, you spent $30 on these two?
Wow.
And you didn't even know what it was, brother.
There must have been some really beautiful girlfriends sitting at that table with the
artist. There must have been.
Oh, wow.
There must have been some glitter spread out or something. I don't know.
The bustier must have been strapped up and tied very tight and on that table. Holy
oh, yeah. Christ. For sure. All right. Next question is from Jay. And he says, how can Ronnie possibly enjoy reading comics on his phone? Well, Jay, I have a iPhone Max, so it's like a small tablet anyway.
Boy, how do you even fit that in your pocket?
So, like, it's not, I mean, it's not much smaller than a 7-inch Kindle.
Right, how are you fitting that in your pocket?
Yeah, usually I don't, or it's in my back pocket. So, but I think Jay
asked that. You really need society to bring back those painter pants. So you can have those gigantic pockets with the overalls and stuff. Yeah. That's what you need.
Yeah.
We need Hollywood to bring that stuff back for you.
Or Zumba pants with pockets.
Yeah, but 7 or 8 inch deep pockets so you can really fit your Max right in there.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really down on me that I read comics on my phone.
Is it always on your phone?
No, it's not always.
Like, but when you go to bed, is it on your phone?
Yes.
Wow. I think the only time I ever do is on the shitter.
Well, every time. So I used to read them on my iPad.
Yeah. Like a normal person.
Yeah.
Like a big boy.
But my wife said that it gave out, like it lit up the room still.
What?
So
for Valentine's Day, you bought her a very nice eye mask, and I appreciate that.
Well, I would like to say that, but so then I was like, well, I'll try it on my phone. And then after that, it just became a creature of habit, and I did it.
Does Jay not know about Guided View? Because even though I don't do my phone too often, Guided View makes the panels very easy to read.
Well, you know Jay is very pretentious.
Of course. And I know he's Mr. Physical Media, but did you at least bring Guided View by his face so he can at least be like, oh, okay, now I see?
Well, I mean, even if I did, he would still not
slap
like it.
Slap it
yeah,
away.
Yeah.
Throw it's digital. Some
get it away from here.
Gin on yes. top of it. Yes, of course. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you should be harangued for that because you should be using your tablet. Do you need me to go and find some study that they did that says you'll go blind quicker by reading off your phone instead of a tablet at night?
Yeah.
And then you can show that to your wife.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I do. I even, like, I read off my tablet and then I read just at night. And usually, honestly, unless my brain won't shut off, it's only like 4 issues probably.
So there are some nights where you're reading, God, 12 issues.
Yeah, and that's just me because I can't shut off my brain.
Sleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, how does he read so much? What the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
I'm impressed. I'm jealous.
Let's see. Next question is from Fred Reed's Comics from the Indie Alley podcast. With the baseball season approaching, kind of, sort of, and you both are fans of comics, who are your starting 9 favorite comic writers or artists?
Wow. Well, you're a baseball coach, so, I mean, you should have this in the bag.
Well, I mean, it's just 9 writers, right? Comic writers?
Yeah, sure.
Or artists, I would assume. So, I'll give 2, and then you can give 2, and then we'll go from there. How about that? Or do you want me to give all 9, and then you give all 9?
No, you go right out. No, I'm up for either.
Okay. So Terry Moore has to be up there for me.
Are we actually crafting a baseball team, or are these just your most favorite writers and artists?
Well, I mean, that's my starting nine, right?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, do you want to craft a baseball team? That sounds more fun.
I was going to go with Dave Sim, just because he came out with a very perverted little book a while back. So who better to steal from base to base?
Oh.
So that's where I was going. But yeah. If you want to do top people, then we can do top people.
Well, I mean, no, your way sounds way funner than just listing nine people.
No. I like yours. We can do yours.
Well, because then, you know, batting cleanup has to be like Jason Aaron, right? Because he's like the heavy hitter guy.
Sure, yeah. Or I would go, let me think about this. Batting cleanup. I think maybe George Perez.
Okay.
Because he has very thick forearms. Yeah. So who better to drive it down the line? George Perez,
And sometimes he has thick lines in his art, too.
That's true. Very, very true. See?
Yeah.
No, but seriously, who would be on your, like, HOF writers list? Let's just do writers, not artists. Or, well, it could be an artist-writer combo.
Okay.
Because one of mine's that.
Okay. Lemire for me, I think. Just because, I know, what's the word Martin uses? The comic veritas.
Ooh.
Right? The slice of life stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That I think a lot of that hits home. Like Essex County is like one of my top overall books of all time, I think. I don't know. This is a hard one.
Yeah, for sure.
Because then, you know, Ditko's on there for art-wise.
Because
that's the Spidey that I grew up reading back issues of.
I could see that.
Like I said, like I love Terry Moore, so he's definitely on there because, and that's kind of bridging the gap between old school and new school too.
That's a good one. I like that one a lot.
Who else you got?
I'm going for my first two in no particular order. Is going to be Grant Morrison, standard answer for Nick. Hello. And then I will say Matt Wagner.
Oh, Matt Wagner's a good one.
Yes.
Let's see. So I'm going to throw out Garth Ennis. Preacher run style.
Sure.
Cause
and don't forget his Punisher.
Yeah, his Punisher Max stuff is amazing too.
Mm-hmm.
And then Frank Miller, Daredevil style.
Sure. Yeah, there's been enough Frank Miller. I've read way more than I would ever put in up in that Hall of Fame category, but you know, hey, to each their own.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's impactful. I guess maybe is how I'm going with it instead of like, I don't know. Maybe yours is Cooperstown and mine's the Wrestling Hall of Fame where everybody can just get in.
After a while, everyone just sort of goes in. I hear you. I mean, there was like. Sin City was very important to me when I was reading it back in the day, but now it's like, I don't know if that would hold that special of a place for me. But that's just me.
Only reason that I said Jason Aaron was because of Scalped. Like, because that was pretty impactful for me. Like, that was one of my outside, I think we talked about it, like, outside Capes and Cowls books.
Yeah, classic.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Who else you got?
Good God. I'm trying to think. It's sort of, for me, it's hard to pass up. Oh God, who am I thinking? It's hard to get off of, like, I've read so much Stan Lee, and I know how dated it is and whatnot, but just going back and rereading it really brought out a huge appreciation for me.
Yeah.
Regarding him and his writing style. Don't know if I want to read modern Stan Lee, but back in the day, yes.
Yeah. So would Bill Finger be up there too?
Yeah.
For that same.
For sure. Yeah, it's hard to even go past the writers that have written hundreds of issues of comic books that I'm still reading. It's hard to pass up any of them, and I hate to even miss any of them would be a shame. That's why lists are so hard.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I love Hickman. I just don't know in 50 years will he be up on that pedestal. Right now he is.
Right.
For me, but I can't predict that.
Yeah. And like Giffen.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the same way, just because of the stuff that he did with everything, like with Guardians and with Titans that he did back then, you know, too.
Definitely.
All right. Let's see. This one is from Kirk Spencer.
Oh.
And this is a two-part question. The first part, I think, has already been answered, but...
Cool.
With all the cancellations at ECCC, how do you think other cons should handle situations like this? And then the second part is, why don't more people love Atari Force than they should?
How would you handle something like this? And more things are getting canceled left and right. I mean, it's hard to disagree with the cancellations. It's pretty scary out there, but that's also me coming from a place where my wife's immune system's like uber low, and something terrible could happen if she ever caught something like this. Like, she's in that camp of like elderly and, you know, sick people.
Right.
So seeing that people are cracking down on this type of thing sort of takes the hesitation and the scare away from me, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody thinks it's not going to happen to them.
And it does.
Yeah, and people are just dumb enough to be like, well, what's the worst that can happen? And it's like, well, you don't know that, and you're looking at like a global situation, and it's hard to be like, yeah, but I don't want the Baltimore Comic Con to not be there. And it's like, well, I think we all can survive without a few cons.
Right. And as far as I've heard, which today Planet postponed. So it's not actually that they're canceling, they're just postponing it for further notice.
Yeah, and who's to say when that'll happen?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And like you said, which is, I was curious about too, because it doesn't take coronavirus for you and your wife to think about other things, right? Like even the common cold or sick people in general of her going out, right?
Oh, for sure. This Friday morning, I'm taking her to Loyola, so it isn't even that we're worried about the coronavirus. we're taking her to the cancer center at Loyola, and it's like all these people are sick.
Right.
And they might have bone cancer or whatever, but still it's like, this is a place where sick people come. So even that, just walking down halls and stuff is a little scary, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I think I just meant like, for me, Melissa has Hashimoto's, which is a kind of a immune thing.
Mm, okay.
But not a severe one.
Mm-hmm.
So like for us, it's like not as extreme as your guys's, but like it's an everyday thing. So we didn't need Corona to be aware of certain situations, right?
For sure.
As to where other people don't have to worry about it, and then until like now, and then now it's in everybody's face, you know, and everybody wants to be worried about it, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it just puts things into perspective and on people's radar. But I know for myself, the last thing I can do is bring a cold into the house.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I had a cold, I stayed up in the spare bedroom pretty much for 4 days. Other than going to the bathroom and taking a shower, I was like, I quarantined myself because her immune system's so weak that anything could set her off. And of course, we've heard from her doctor umpteen times that, you know, even a cold could send her into the hospital. So at this point with Corona, I almost feel like even going to like a movie theater, not with her, like she hasn't left the house the last 3 weekends. But even for me to go to a movie by myself, it's like, am I just risking bringing something into the house?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a little scary.
Yeah, and that's like, I think the point I was trying to make is that it's everyday life for us, basically,
mm-hmm.
as to where other people aren't. So
right. Oh, and to answer Kirk's second part.
Mm-hmm. The why don't more people love Atari Force like they should?
Yes. Psst. Ronnie.
Yeah.
I've never even read Atari Force.
Me neither, but those covers are awesome.
They are. I'm very jealous. That's one of those series, just like ROM, I've never read.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're hard to find.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, whoever writes issues, whatever, they're hard to find. And it's really frustrating.
Agreed.
And
I love the covers. I've seen the covers. Yeah, they're amazing.
Yeah, it's... Oh, every time we post some, I'm always jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh,
dang it. But there's still, like, you know, my favorite character, Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
There's still covers of Spider-Man that I've never seen.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether it's a Spectacular Spider-Man, whether it's a Marvel team-up, I don't know. There's eras like the 90s that I barely have read because I was out of capes and cowls around then.
Right.
But still, I love... Oh, God, I just love... So to see Atari Force or ROM that I've never read one issue...
Yeah.
And to see those covers, and it's there's barely any Sergeant Rock I've ever read, but to see those covers, and then you look at like Sergeant Rock, you look at the number, that's what's always frustrating for me. It's like 240. Are you kidding? Like, dang, there's so many comics out there that I want to read. Oh, so frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, it's frustrating, for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's why as digital readers, and I know you go back and forth, but I pretty much am digital just because I don't want to buy physical media. I just don't have anywhere to put it. I should take a picture of my closet. People would be like, oh, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
But it's so frustrating when these, especially like these covers get posted. And then it's like, where can I find that digitally, legally, digitally? I know I can find everything online. I don't do that.
Right.
So it's so frustrating to be like, Atari Force results, 3, and they're all the brand new stuff. Or yeah. Sergeant Rock, 45 appearances. Okay, other than Brave and Bold, and it's just like, dang it, come on.
Yeah, right.
Very frustrating.
All right. This one is from a longtime listener, second time caller, co-host of the actual show, Martin Ferretti. He asks, what was your favorite part of C2E2, the con part, not the hangout part?
Ooh.
Tell us one cringy story from the after party. And how many licks does it take to get to the center of a mushroom?
Oh, no, gross.
And when is Martin coming back?
Okay, I can only answer one of those questions, so feel free.
So how many licks does it take to get to the center of a mushroom?
That's the one I'll need you to answer. Last question. How about that?
The last question is hopefully soon, because ratings are dropping with me on here.
Oh, you are crazy there. Martin said he is ready to record next Wednesday. So
there you go. Let's see. My favorite part of C2E2, the con part.
Yes.
Did they
have the sci-fi smaller stage?
Yes, they did. And that's.
Did you go to any of those?
We didn't. I mean, we walked past them, but okay. we didn't attend them.
Dang it!
But that's where the wrestling AEW guys were, and they did their live stage thing there.
Nice.
And somebody else did. It was a big one because there was, you know, how they had the seats, and then there's people surrounding them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like standing room only there too, but I never really saw who that was.
Gotcha.
My favorite con part.
Other than meeting Bill Bomer yet again.
Yeah, yet again. That's one of my regrets, really.
What?
Because Bill texted me, and we were eating. And so he came and sat with us while we ate.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I went out to smoke. And he was like, hey, I'm headed back to Artist Alley. So this is probably 20 minutes or whatever. But then after that, when I came back in from smoking, then I was squirrel, 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 squirrel. So then by the end of that time, I didn't get to hang out with him as much as I wanted to or would have liked.
So that might be your biggest C2E2 regret.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't get to run my fingers through his hair or anything like that.
Dang it. Did you at least grab a hold of the subtle buttocks?
I gave him a hearty hug.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't want to let go.
Oh, yes. Standard.
Yeah.
Standard. But what was the favorite C2E2? Con.
I'd have to probably say that Friday when Aaron and I went around like madmen going after hardcovers. Because that was kind of it was the hunt, you know. Mm. He had his list, I had my list of hardcovers, but then there was hardcovers that weren't on our list that, you know, sprang up for decent prices, and then...
Nice.
And that was, I would say, that was also the first time Aaron was around at the con. I mean, obviously, we've talked to each other for 4 years, and then he was in for my wedding or whatever, and we hung out. But, in the con atmosphere, I think that was. And then talking and joking around with some creators, like Jeremy Hahn and of course, Joe from Aftershock, while we were on our hardcover adventure.
Now, was Aaron the entire time saying, this isn't as busy as New York Comic Con?
Yeah, at least 20 times every 10 minutes.
So now, does that inspire you or drive you to want to go to New York to experience what New York Comic Con is with
him? That's what I told him. I was like, you invite me every year, and you telling me this? is like my standard answer of no. Because C2E2 is about as busy as I want to go to a con.
And how busy was Saturday compared to other years? I don't know if I asked you that last week.
Yeah, that was the debate. Because I thought Friday was the same. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little slower until like the later hours, like when people got off work or whatever. Saturday, like I went to the two panels and it was still wall to wall or elbow to elbow people. And then, of course, you know, the cosplayer stopping in the middle of the aisle to take pictures.
True.
So to me, it was about the same as it was last year.
Okay. Yeah, that always just, it always makes me so claustrophobic. And then to have Aaron be like, it wasn't bad at all. Friday and Saturday was like the same amount. And I'm like, there's no way Saturday was like Friday. No way.
Yeah, there was no way that, maybe to Aaron and his messed up Hoboken mind, but.
But you're not inspired to go to New York with Aaron just to see how the other half lives.
Not really, no.
Don't take the Kansas City con and be happy.
Yeah, I'll take C2E2 and KC and be done. Like, I'm not even. And I think we had this discussion there about like San Diego.
Ooh.
And I was like, no way.
Hell
like,
no.
Nope. My anxiety and everything is like my spider senses are tingling on Saturday at C2E2. Nonetheless, in San Diego, or with him saying that New York is just as bad.
I would rather like to travel down to visit Jay in Texas and go to a Holiday Inn Comic-Con by him than ever go to San Diego. Holy Christ.
Yeah. Or I think we even talked about it in the B&B as like going to Heroes, like in South Carolina or whatever.
Gotcha.
Because that's all comics. That's not, you know, celebrity people.
Doesn't have the Hollywood or wrestling people.
Yeah.
Did you get any wrestlers to sign anything this year?
No. Oh. Nope.
And Sonny wasn't there?
Nope, Sonny wasn't there. Aaron and I did walk by CM Punk and he's about Aaron's size, so I was like, how is he like on TV looks larger than life, but here he's like our size.
Yeah, Chicago's very own.
Yeah. Let's see. What's another one?
The outside C2E2 Martin wanted to know about.
The cringy story from the after party. I don't know if there really was. I mean, we were pretty good of boys this year.
That's good.
I mean, the cringy part, I guess, would be us trying to find three dots in a dash. And like the homeless guy came up and told us it was in the alley, and we're like, I've seen this movie before.
Or Colin Bunn heading down the wrong and getting propositioned by a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Or a crack whore.
Or I guess Dewan's booby book, that might have been cringy after party.
The year Ronnie Barron discovered tentacle porn.
Yeah, let's mark that one down. Let's see. Aaron's got a couple, and then we can call it good.
How Aaron about that? Bell.
Let's see. Which classic NES game would you like to see redone with full online multiplayer?
Ooh. Well, to answer that question, I would have had to own an NES, and I didn't. I went to the Sega Genesis. So if I can answer from the Sega Genesis point of view, I would like to see Earthworm Jim.
Oh, yeah. That was a classic.
Yes, even though I've played Earthworm Jim and Earthworm Jim 2 recently, and they are terrible.
For me, I would actually like to see Contra.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Yeah.
With
the first one.
Without the extra lives?
Yeah, without the extra lives, yeah.
Yes. That's a real good one.
Let's see. His next question is, how many total alcoholic drinks would you guess were consumed by the Nerdy Legion crew at C2E2?
Holy cats. Oh, my God. Is this day drinking or overall?
It just says how many total alcoholic drinks.
Why does Aaron want me to do so much math this late at night? Oh, man. Do you have a roundabout guess?
It has to be gallons.
See, that's the smart answer. Just guess gallons. Because I'm trying to think of actual drinks, but the problem is I don't know how much of a drinker Travis is, but I can sort of guesstimate how much Dewan is, and if Travis was trying to keep up with him.
No, I think you have that wrong. I think Dewan was trying to keep up with Travis.
The youngster?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to guess in gallons as well. I'm going to guess 2.5 gallons.
Oh, I'm going to...
No, I take that back. A lot of it was beer during the day. I'm going to guess 5.5 gallons.
I was going to say that's more like it.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't thinking beers. I was thinking mixed drinks or smaller. That's where I was.
Yeah. Well, there was nothing small about that.
Yeah, that's true. You went to the TV bar.
Yeah. I'm going to say about 7 gallons.
Ooh, man.
Yeah. And that still might be shooting low.
Oh, God. Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
Jesus. And also, are we including, like, Mr. Bunn and his wife? They are
well,
part
Cindy
of the
wasn't
Legion.
There.
Okay. But he was part of the... He is part of the Nerdy Legion Network, and I'm sure he tied some on, too.
Yeah. I mean, the only one that we saw is the Thursday night that we hung out with him, but...
True. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Golly, you guys.
Mm-hmm. I figured that was a good one to end on with the questions.
That's such a good one. Oh, you guys are hilarious. Too good. Well,
I'm glad that Martin will be back.
Yeah, he texted me a couple days ago and said that he's chomping at the bit. I'm sure he has plenty of metaphysical discussions to bring to the table.
Yeah.
So I have to get in my comic book talk when I can, because I'm sure Martin's been on a quest.
Yeah. On a galaxy quest.
Ugh, if only. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Bring me Sigourney Weaver and Tim Allen.
Yeah. Because, like I said, I'm sure I'm dropping the ratings like hotcakes here. So.
Hell no. Are you kidding me? I don't think Martin and I have ever gotten this many questions where he asked questions. Never. Rarely. Rarely.
Yeah, I think that's about it, actually.
Oh. Okay.
Of the questions.
People can find you over on the Nerdy Legion Aftershock.
Yes.
Yes. Podcast.
And I have been filling in for Martin on Valiant Central.
That's always nice to hear. I'm sure I'm looking forward to listening to the post C2E2 episodes.
Yeah, we're trying to plan a time to do that.
So. Oh, come on. Get on it.
It'll probably be happening this week since Dewan's quarantined for 76 hours, I think, or whatever. I don't remember.
And by quarantine, you just mean that his wife doesn't want him leaving the house because of C2E2?
Correct.
Yes. Understandable. Yeah. Quarantine / doghouse. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's just more in vogue to say quarantine.
Yeah.
Now, when you guys record, will you be doing a Bloodshot film review?
Maybe. I don't know when. I know Dewan is planning on seeing it this weekend. I'm not sure if Travis is. I'm assuming he is, but.
Well, send that guy a text message. Let's get on it.
Yeah. Let's do it.
I want to hear this. I want to hear the debate.
Yeah.
No, find out if it lives up to the hype.
I think it does.
Cool.
So.
I'm looking forward to it.
I think it actually excels the hype.
Ooh. that's exciting.
Because, you know, some people think it'll shoot low. And, I mean, with the pandemic that's going on and everything, maybe some people don't want to go out and see it.
Mm-hmm.
And that might hurt it a little bit, but I think as a quality movie, I mean, let's face it, it's a popcorn flick action movie, you know.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. So.
But will it make enough money that they do a Bloodshot 2, Ronnie Barrett?
I hope so. Let's put it that way.
Especially in the aftermarket, I hope so.
Yeah. And I really hope, because one character stands out a lot more than just Vin Diesel.
Okay.
And, like, every scene that they're in, like, steals the show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Now, Will, with this pandemic, who knows how long this is going to go for, do you think that they're the movie studios? Sure, they can't ramp up, like, let's get Bloodshot out on Blu-ray DVD. But they could take that digital file that they're sending to the movie theaters and post that up as a rental on streaming services. Do you think that these movie studios are going to turn towards that as a way to distribute their movies, since groups of people are not going to movie theaters?
Yeah, I think that's a solution, yeah.
Especially if this keeps going. I understand it's not going to happen in the next couple weeks, but I could see by week or by month two, I could see movie studios being like, no, we're going to put this out.
Yeah.
We need to make money off. Or they start pushing the movies back, one or the other.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it has to happen.
Yeah, it has to. And which I'm kind of curious to see if New Mutants will come out on time now or not.
I hope not, because I want to go see it, damn it.
Well, I know, but I mean, like, it already got pushed back, but now it's, like, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks away?
I know.
From coming out?
It's right in the pocket. Like,
yeah, it's right in the sweet spot of what we're talking about, so.
Mm-hmm. Will? Okay, I asked you about the Vin Diesel Bloodshot 2.
Mm-hmm.
Will Vin Diesel do another Pitch Black?
Ooh. I think he'll do another Fast and Furious before he does Pitch Black.
Will Vin Diesel drive his Fast and Furious car into the universe of Pitch Black, and then we will get a sequel to Pitch Black 2?
Yeah, I hope. I really like the Pitch Black saga.
Yeah,
I guess.
I could use some more of that sci-fi.
Yeah, and I love, and like I said, like, I wasn't really a fan of JDH as Bloodshot anyway.
JDH.
But, yeah, Jason David Frank, or JDF, I guess.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. Not
JDH, JDF.
Yes.
But I think really, there's one, okay, so you've seen trailers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time it's Vin Diesel not being all white like Bloodshot.
Right.
Well, when that moment happens, I think I said, I did get goosebumps, and I think I said, holy shit, really loud in the theater. So much so that my wife elbowed me in my ribs.
Oh, sheesh.
Like, she gave me that look, like, really, Ronnie? Like, you're the one that's usually complaining that people are talking.
I usually do a little girl clap.
Yeah.
Or I'll do the ee! Like, yeah.
Well, and I didn't try to be that guy.
I'm always that guy. Say it loud, say it proud. I don't care.
Yeah,
well, I'm the guy crying during Spider-Man films. Oh, well.
No, I'm saying I'm not the guy that usually, like, loses. Like, I do the girl clap or the sounds, too, you know, like when those, or cry.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I'm not the guy that overly says loud things.
You're very macho.
Well, I don't know about that. Yeah. I just said I cried in movies.
Ronnie? Another question. Two questions.
Right. Okay.
JDF.
Yeah.
Would you rather like to see him portray Jason, what is it?
Jason David Frank?
Jason David Frank. Would you rather like to see Jason David Frank portray Bloodshot? Or would you rather like to see Gary Frank draw Bloodshot?
Oh, hands down, 100% Gary Frank draw Bloodshot.
That's the correct answer. And now I need to know something serious.
Okay.
During Bloodshot by Vin Diesel, while Vin Diesel is on the screen, just give me percentage. When Vin Diesel is on the screen, how much of his dialogue is captioned? Because you don't understand a word. And follow-up question, how much of his dialogue while Vin Diesel is on the screen, how much of his dialogue do you wish was captioned?
There was one scene where I was like, what the hell did he just say? But for the most part of the whole movie, he enunciates and you can understand what he's saying.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like they're piping in the Bane dialogue from...
Right.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, you've illuminated tonight's episode very well. I'm looking forward to Bloodshot. Ronnie Baron, of course, you're a prince among thieves.
Oh.
I appreciate everything you do. You wear the singlet well. You wear the crown well. Ronnie Baron, people can find you on Twitter at RonBar316. That's right. He likes wrestling people.
Mm-hmm.
Me at Nick Wetmore, of course. You're listening to Nerdy Legion. Drop us an email. You can do that at hello@nerdylegion.com. Till we talk again, people, listeners, thank you for joining us. Ronnie Baron, thank you for filling in.
Thank you for having me.
Everyone, good night.